Welcome to the frontier of the metaverse, where we learn from high quality entrepreneurs, artists, and change makers shaping the future of the metaverse. Here we discuss how to level up, how to get started, and how to get ahead of the opportunity. I'm your host, Howard Kingston. Welcome. Okay, so this episode is our first foundational episode. Now, why am I doing a foundational episode? This is really about breaking down some of the really basic key concepts when it comes to the metaverse, NFTs, cryptocurrencies, things like that. All right. So this episode is really made for those of you listening who are really new to this. So if you are advanced, you can absolutely skip this episode. That's totally fine. I've really made this because whenever I'm chatting to people, there's a lot of people out there that this will be new for. And listen, I totally get it. Just a few months ago, I was in that position. I was going, what is this OpenSea thing? And what, gas? And is crypto all a scam? How do I just figure out, you know, what is signal and what is noise here? And that's what I really want to do in this episode. For people who are new to this, this is one episode I'll always be able to refer people to if they're beginning, just to help onboard them into some key concepts and a trusted source of what some of this stuff means. So how I did it was I polled a few people and I asked them some key questions that they typically have when they're thinking about this space, when they're a beginner. And I'm going to have those questions and I'm just going to answer those questions myself. I don't have a guest in this episode, just me. And I'll be breaking down and answering those questions. So I'll just repeat one more time. If you are already well-versed on the metaverse and NFTs and crypto, feel free to skip this episode. But if you're a beginner, I think this will be incredibly useful to you. And with that, let's get to the show. Okay, so I've polled some friends who are a little bit new to this Web3 space, and these are the most frequently asked questions I got to give a bit of a foundation to Web3, the metaverse, NFTs, cryptocurrency, all that good stuff. All right, so I've got maybe about 6-7 questions that I'll go through, and by the end of it, I'm really sure you'll have a better insight how all these things connect together. All right, so let's jump into it, shall we? So question number one is, what is Web3? All right, so Web3 is a term you may have heard talked about a little bit over the last 12 months. And you know, maybe you haven't, maybe you've never heard of it before. That's totally fine too. All right. So to know what Web3 is, I think it's important to really zoom out and talk about what is Web3, what is then Web2, and what is Web1, like, and where do all these things connect together? Because it is called Web3 because there was Web1 and 2 before it. And it's really important to know what that evolution is. So let's go back a little bit to Web 1. Right, so what was Web 1? Web 1 was Internet 1.0. Think back 1997. If you're anything like me, I remember I was living on a farm in the countryside in Ireland, and I remember my brother was always really into computers, and we used to spend hours, and I mean hours, playing different games, first on his Sinclair Spectrum, and then we got a PC and we were playing Championship Manager 93. It was all my life. It was amazing. Some really, really happy memories. But I remember at some point there was this thing called the internet came along, and you know, you got this wire and you could plug it into the phone line and you could connect to this thing called the internet and do things, right? And I always remember, this is of course before mobile phones, and we only had one phone line in the house. So for us to be on the internet, it meant that someone else was not on the telephone. And my mother, I remember getting really annoyed because we'd be playing games or whatever, and we'd have to get off the internet. So that's how it all started. And when things started, really, people, like, yeah, this internet was new. People didn't really know what to do with it, and it was quite basic. So people got magazines. Effectively, they got magazines, right? And they put them up as websites. So the first version of websites were really just online magazines, you know, that you could flick through different pages and read information and maybe look at some pictures. That was really it, Web 1.0. So if you think of Web 1.0, is really about what you could read on the internet, right? Just reading information, reading and looking at pictures, all right? There wasn't even much video back then. And that was Web 1.0. And that went on for maybe 10 years, really. And then in the 2000s, maybe, you know, a decade later, 2010 kind of time, there started to be this thing called Web 2.0. And that was a term people called it at the time. I remember people started talking about Web 2.0. And that was when social media came along. And the ability to take these very static, you know, magazine style websites that all you could do is really read them. And then all of a sudden you could write on them. You could write to people. You could communicate with people. You could, you know, back and forth. And it was much more social. And that's really where social media started, right? And it's around this time all these big websites like Facebook started, Instagram started a few years later, MySpace, you know, MSN Messenger, Skype, all of these things that really for the first time allowed two-way communication over the internet. Whereas before it was just via phone, okay, via telephones. And that was obviously a huge thing. And that went on for many, many years. And really up until, it's still going on, still evolving. Even today with TikTok is another evolution of that, right? And it's constantly evolving. So that's what Web 2 was. Web 1 was about reading on the internet. Web 2 was about writing, being able to write on the internet. Web 3 is a next evolution again. And it's really about decentralization and ownership. All right, so don't, you know, if your eyes are going glazy and you're like, what? Decentralization, what? Bear with me, all right? Because this is really big. It's really cool, right? Because if you think about, let's just say Facebook, right? There's loads of information. All your information is on Facebook. You've got pictures. You've got all your profile stuff. But the reality is, who owns that information? Facebook does. And if Facebook went down tomorrow, your information would be gone. Or if Facebook decided to block you, which happens to loads of people, they can, and you might not get access to your information anymore. So really, even though you think it's your information, Facebook owns it. It's a centralized company, a big company owns it. And that's the way it's always been. And guess what? They make money out of your information because they sell it to advertisers. And other things like big banks, for example, are very centralized and they hold all your money and they make tons of money through your, they make money from the privilege of holding your money, right? And that's how all these centralized organizations have always really worked. Now, Web3 is changing that, all right? And it's decentralizing it. It is, rather than all the information on the internet being held by these mega corporations like Facebook and Google and Amazon and all these kind of things, it's decentralizing it across the whole internet. Now, you may have heard of a term called blockchain, right? And really, that's what blockchain is. Blockchain is, think of the world's information being, rather than stored in one or two central big companies like Google, it's decentralized and it's spread across thousands and tens of thousands of computers around the world in a network. And that's really what blockchain is. All this information is stored on these networks of computers, and the information is stored on what's called the blockchain, right? So you've probably heard of that term before. I find people overcomplicate it sometimes, but that's kind of what it is. It's a bit like a hive mind, right? So not one central entity owns it. And when that happens, really exciting things can happen. It means you can save, you know, you can have money on the blockchain. That's what kind of cryptocurrencies is. Don't worry, I'll come to that. There's a question about that later, so I'm not going to go into too much detail on that right now. But it means that you don't need a bank anymore, right? Or you don't need to hold all your information with Facebook anymore. Now all this information can be stored across this network of computers. And that's really what this blockchain thing is, right? And when information is put onto the blockchain, it is minted onto the blockchain, and anyone can access it. It's fully transparent and you cannot change it. It's immutable. You cannot change it. So it's a very transparent record of information. Let's just say I put something onto the blockchain, I put a piece of information on the blockchain, anyone can access it from any computer. And even if, let's say, one piece of the blockchain goes down, for some reason a computer gets destroyed in a fire, guess what? There's thousands of other computers that have that information too. So not one piece of information would get lost. All right. That's different than, say, if Facebook HQ got bombed or something, like the information would be gone. All right. So that's really what Web3 is. Web3 is ownership. All right. Because if you own something which has been attributed to you on the blockchain for the first time ever, you can own that piece of information. And that piece of information, for example, could be an image, right, which has been minted on the blockchain. By the way, these are called what NFTs are, and I'll come to that later. But an NFT is really a digital asset which has been minted onto the blockchain, proving you own it. And it's the first time ever that something digital could be proven that you directly own it. And you can own it and you can sell it if you want to, because you own it. Okay? So Web 1 is about reading things on the internet. Web 2 was about writing things on the internet. Web 3 is about owning things on the internet, truly owning your own digital assets, and you can do what you need with it. You don't need a middleman to kind of give you that information. Does that make sense? Hopefully. And just zooming out, how that's really exciting, if you think about over the next 5 or 10 years, like, I believe we're on an inevitable march to the digitization of the human race. You know, we're only going to get more and more digital over the next 5 to 10 years. Just think about how far we've come. 10 years ago, there was no Snapchat. There was no iPhone. It just started. You know, we've come such a long way in 10 years, and it's speeding up, right? It's not slowing down. And the next 10 years, we just won't even be able to recognize where we are. And the ability to truly own things in that digital world, like we've never been able to before, has huge potential and is really going to revolutionize things. So hopefully that answers that question. Okay, so that leads on to the next question I got then. So what is an NFT? All right, so this is the second question. What is an NFT? So an NFT stands for a non-fungible token. That's a technical term, doesn't really matter. Really, what you need to know is it's a digital asset which has been minted on the blockchain, which you can own. All right, so it's like owning a digital asset, truly owning it, because of what I was talking about a few minutes ago in the first question. You can truly own something and prove ownership when it's been minted to the blockchain. All right. Now, that's different. Different than, let's just say you have an image, right? 5, 10 years ago, you might have seen an image on a website like Flickr, all right? Do you remember Flickr? It was one of the main photo sharing websites of Web 2. And I could see an image, I go, oh, that's nice. And then I could click right click on my mouse and save it as a file. And it's on my computer. Do I own it? Well, you don't own it. The person who first created it, you could say, truly owned it. But it's very hard to verify that ownership, right? Whereas with an NFT, you on the blockchain, you can see who owns it. You can verify that I, Howard, bought that that image, that NFT from this person on this date, and I own it. No one else owns it. Okay. And then I have the power to buy and sell that to other people. I could go to the Louvre in Paris and I could see the Mona Lisa. And then I could go down to my local village here. I'm in Ireland at the moment, and I could go down to my local store and buy a poster of the Mona Lisa, and I could put it on my wall. But guess what? Anyone that sees it, no, like, it's not, I don't own the original. I just own a copy. And there has always been great value put on by humans for people who own the original of those assets. Okay. Humans have always put, great value on that. So this is not a new thing. And this is the first time we've ever been able to do it in a digital way. So that's from a high level what an NFT is. It could be an image, it could be a piece of music, it could be different forms, but ultimately it could be land, virtual land in a virtual world. But ultimately it's a way that you can prove that you own that thing for the very first time digitally. So if you're interested in looking at NFTs more, I'd encourage you to check out some projects. Just Google the words Bored Ape Yacht Club. Bored Ape Yacht Club. Just Google that one. You could Google something called Moonbirds. So Moonbirds. That's a project I love. I'm a collector in Moonbirds. Or a collection called CryptoPunks. Now, these are very famous collections and they sell for huge amounts of money now. And these are all images that people are now using to identify themselves online. So you'll go onto something like Twitter and people won't be using their faces anymore. They'll be using their moonbird, for example. And that's a way to digitally identify online. And you know what? Humans have been doing that all their lives. Like, you know, why do you wear a certain type of fashion? Why do people buy Prada? It's because they want to signal to other people that they're a certain type of person with a certain status. And guess what, guys? This is just a digital version of that. And let's zoom out again. Imagine, you know, if we're going on this march of digitization of the human race over the next 5, 10, 20 years, why would humans not be signaling their status online? They've been doing it offline for centuries. So these things for me is not a new behavior, it's just a digital version of the existing behavior. Hopefully that makes sense. So definitely check out those projects. And one or two other projects I'd recommend you check out is, there's one called artblocks.io. And this is like very high quality digital art. A lot of time NFTs is like a picture of a monkey or something and you're like, what is this? But there's some very high quality artists creating art now for projects such as Artblocks, and they're also being sold at very well-established auction houses such as Christie's. There's an artist called Beeple who famously sold a piece of art, an NFT, for $69 million at Christie's a year or two ago. So these are some things for you to explore yourself a little bit. Okay, so that question was, what is an NFT? Next question I got was, so what is the metaverse? All right, so the metaverse, this will be a short one because it really connects a lot of the dots I've already been explaining. If you've now learned about the other things we've been talking about, the metaverse is really just pulling that all together, right? And I like to think it's three things. Imagine a triangle. On one side of the triangle is about ownership, really, you know, owning things for the first time digitally. The second side of the triangle is about identity, you know, being able to show up as yourself online in a virtual way. And then the third is, and this is the bottom of the triangle, and this is around like immersive experiences. So we really think about living in a virtual world. And that can be different things, right? It could be something like Ready Player One, where you have a VR headset and you're living your life in a virtual world. It could be that, or it could be just you hanging out in chat rooms on Discord, where a lot of the kind of Web3 world hangs out, a service called Discord. It's a little bit like Slack. So there's different ways this can show up. But really, it's more about spending more time in this digital world. And I do believe over the next 5 to 10 years, people will be spending more and more time in these worlds. Just think about how much time people spend now, even on your phone. The number of hours people spend on phones and on games and things like that today versus 10 years ago is crazy. And think of that 10 years ahead. I think it is inevitable. Now, of course, that comes with challenges. I'm not here to tell you. I'm not trying to sell it here. I'm not trying to, you know, put away that this would have consequences as well. And there's different things we need to do to make sure that, you know, humans stay healthy. But that's for a different day's conversation. Okay. So that's really the metaverse. It's really all things Web3. It encompasses NFTs, it encompasses cryptocurrencies, all these different things. Okay, next question. What is cryptocurrency? What is Bitcoin? Bitcoin, are they the same things? Okay, so Bitcoin is a cryptocurrency. Not all cryptocurrency is Bitcoin. Okay, so let me dive into that a little bit more. So a cryptocurrency is really a currency which is created on the blockchain, which at this point, you know that it means that you don't need the middleman, right? It's, if it's Web3, it means it's decentralized. You don't need these centralized banks anymore. And that's really cool. So it means that you can have a currency without having a government or a bank. Now, why might you want that? Well, the benefit to that is you can transfer it more easily. So, like, just think about, it's such a pain in the ass. Like, have you ever tried transferring money to somewhere abroad, like Australia, or maybe somewhere a bit different, like, you know, Dubai or Africa or something like that? It's a pain, right? It's expensive. It's a pain. It takes time. And the cool thing with these new cryptocurrencies is you can just transfer money between people instantly for almost no cost, right? So there's a lot of benefits. Another benefit to a cryptocurrency is that, you know, it can be held in places that aren't a bank, right? You don't need to have a bank. And why you might not want to have a bank is, you know, for some, you know, banks have frozen and lost people money. It has happened. You know, it depends where you're listening to this. You might go, oh, that will never happen to me. But it's happened to many countries, even in Europe, the likes of Iceland and Cyprus and things. You know, like, it does happen. So people can own money without having a centralized bank. It has benefits. All right. You know, as more and more less trust is in banks, as, you know, all the bailouts, etc. But also, just think about all the money. Like, I remember one of the first jobs I ever got was in a bank, actually. I worked in a bank here in Ireland, and the amount of money they made, you know, the CEOs were the highest paid people in the country, let alone in the bank, in the country. They were earning like over $1 million salary. And this is all profit they're making from people like us. You know, they're lending out, they're charging high interest rates, and then they pay you no interest on your deposits. Like, I think we all know that from normal banks at this point, and they charge you lots of fees. Whereas if you use cryptocurrencies and what's called decentralized finance, which is DeFi, you might have heard that term, it cuts out the banks. So you don't lose money on fees in the same way. You can earn really good interest rates. Like think like, you know, 6, 7, 8% interest rate on your money, because the platforms, you know, do the lending, and you don't have this big expensive bank paying CEO salaries and paying all these, you know, branches all around the country. All right. So that's it. Don't get me wrong. I think there's always going to be a place for centralized banking, but isn't it nice to have the option if you want it? And I think there's definite need for both. Okay. So that's cryptocurrencies in general. So let's dive into Bitcoin. Bitcoin is just a cryptocurrency. right? It's one of thousands of cryptocurrencies. Bitcoin is just the first one, and it's the most famous one. So just so you do know the distinction, Bitcoin is a cryptocurrency, but there's lots of other cryptocurrencies, such as Ethereum is a cryptocurrency. Now, of all the thousands that there are, I'll just bring you up to speed with one or two so you know about them. The one I just mentioned, Ethereum, I think is important to know about. It would probably be, I think it is officially actually the second most popular cryptocurrency after Bitcoin. Now, Bitcoin is the original. It has a great brand name in the world. You know, everyone seems to know it at this point, I think. But after that, it doesn't really do an awful lot. You know, it's hard to use it in more productive ways. So in some ways, people call Bitcoin the gold of cryptocurrencies. You know, think of gold. Like, it's not that practical a substance. Like, sure, you can break, you can make rings out of it, but you know, you don't use it for tools. You don't use it in an everyday setting quite in the same way. It's more of a store of value, more so than a practical material. So that's why people call Bitcoin the gold of cryptocurrencies. Whereas there's another cryptocurrency called Ethereum. If you haven't heard about it yet, do just make a note of that one. And that's the one where most cool tools now are built on top of. And it allows people to transact on the blockchain. People build apps on top of it, which are called dApps. And it allows you to do things like mint an NFT. Buy an NFT on the blockchain is usually done on Ethereum, using the Ethereum network. All right. I won't go into more technicalities than that. Just know that different cryptocurrencies are almost like different tech. Think of them as different technologies, and the different technologies have different use cases. Some of them have amazing use cases, and some of them really have almost no use case. And some of the biggest coins out there, the likes of, Ethereum, would be used very, very widely. The likes of Solana is another cryptocurrency. Solana is much faster than Ethereum on transaction speed. Its security might not be quite as high. It's referred to and it's being used by a lot of things. People who are building games, for example, in the metaverse use Solana. You know, it's very, very fast, and security isn't quite as needed to be quite as big as, say, if you're holding a very expensive NFT that's worth $1 million, for example, that would want to be on the Ethereum network, for example. So there's lots of different ones. I won't go through all the different cryptocurrencies because it obviously take just too long, but just know that there are a lot of different ones. Yeah, that's, I think, all I need to say about that. Okay, so next question. Is all cryptocurrency a scam? Okay, this is an important one. It's actually a question I get quite a lot, you know, especially when I'm speaking to maybe family members or someone who's really out of the world. Like, I don't know, you know, how involved you are in technology listening to this, but if you're completely out of the world, and a lot of times people just think, oh, cryptocurrency is a scam, because there has been scams in the past involving cryptocurrencies. Now, so I'll answer this as intentionally as I can. Is all cryptocurrency a scam? The answer is no, it's not. Is there a lot of scams in cryptocurrency? Yes, there can be. Yes, there are. Just like there's a lot of scams in business. Like, think how much scams just go on in the internet in general, right? There's a lot of scams. Just think about how many scam emails you've gotten into your inbox in the last year. You've probably gotten quite a few. And yes, there are scams. So you just need to be careful. And with cryptocurrencies, you can buy cryptocurrencies, you can buy NFTs. So it involves money, and things that involve money naturally tend to attract some scammers of the world. But definitely, definitely not. I would really encourage you, if you're kind of thinking that there's a lot of scams or cryptocurrencies, I really encourage you to open your mind that this is a very robust technology, which is creating, has great use cases in the world today, and over the next 5 to 10 years is going to get more and more adopted, just like the internet got adopted the last 10 years. Like, think about 10 years ago, meeting someone online on a dating website was a bit of a weird thing. Socially, wasn't that accepted? I met my wife on an internet, on a dating site, online dating site. I remember when we met, it was a bit weird telling people that. Now, like, most people meet each other on things like Tinder and stuff like that. We didn't meet on Tinder. We met on a different website predating Tinder. But times change and new technologies, the human race adapts to them. And the cryptocurrencies, blockchain, all this stuff, NFTs, is a really interesting new technology that's going to change the way that we live. And it's, don't think of it all as a scam, because then you may be closed-minded to it. If you are doing stuff in it, be careful, because there are scams out there. So you need to be careful, learn from good trusted sources, and hopefully this show will be one of those for you. I'm not here to try and, you know, I have no agenda here. I'm not trying to like pitch you a cryptocurrency. All I want is to help you learn about this stuff, because I think it's important. People who learn about it early get, you know, there's a great opportunity for you. So not all a scam. And just to finalize that bit, like, think about even the likes of Facebook, like these huge companies, they've changed their name to Meta in the last year. Why have they done that? They've done that because they see the next 5 years being more about the metaverse. They've clearly done that, like, it's unquestionable. They're building a metaverse. And, you know, we just need to look at these people who are shaping the world, and these VC investors, like some of the biggest, most reputable investors in the world. There's one VC firm which I followed for years in my Web2 entrepreneur days called A16Z. Like, they have a $4.5 billion fund now investing in the metaverse. And they're going to be investing in the smartest entrepreneurs in the world who are going to be building incredible things. And it's all in the Web3 space. So that always gives me great confidence that the smartest minds and the smartest money are going here. So it's a smart move. Okay, and final question. Second final question. The second final is a short one. Am I too late to get started? And I really think not at all. I think you're actually insanely still very, very early. You know, there's a saying, if it's a football match, are you in, you know, is it half time? Are you in the first half? Honestly, I think the teams are just walking out onto the pitch when it comes to this game of the metaverse and the Web3. So yes, you might feel like there's a lot of people out there that know more than you, but believe me, in the world, you're still super early. Even just you listening to this, you're so, so early. And I'd encourage you to keep going on your journey. Just give you an example of that. When it comes to NFTs, right? So NFTs, I read recently there are 500,000 active wallets on the main website, NFT website called OpenSea. So that's 500,000, 500,000. And just for context, that is the population of this, of a city in Ireland where I'm from called Cork City. Okay, you might not have heard of that city because it's not that big, right? And in the global, in when you put that in perspective of the world, of how many people, what's the population of the world? Is it like, you know, 7 billion or something now? Obviously, half a million people is tiny. And over the next 5 to 10 years, there's going to be 4, 5, 6 billion people using this new Web3 technology. So you're still so early, guys. So just get involved, just get started. I only really got deep into this stuff a year ago. Like, really? I minted my first NFT ever at Christmas. You know, this is Christmas 2021. And I'm quite involved in it now. So it's amazing how fast you can learn once you get into it. So just start. Okay, and then final question I had when I polled people was just, you know, how do you get started? You know, you're interested, you want to learn more. How do you get started in this stuff? Sure, and I'm going to share a couple of resources. It's essentially how I got started. First of all, I started reading a few books. There was two books in particular I found quite useful early on. One was a book called Bitcoin Billionaires, and it's the story of it's written by the same author that wrote the book of the movie called The Social Network. You may have seen it. It's the story of how Facebook started and Mark Zuckerberg. It's a really good movie. And he continues the story at the end of that movie. The Winklevoss twins, who are the two rowers from Harvard, it follows their journey after The Social Network. And they were they had that experience with Mark Zuckerberg, and then they went on to come across early Bitcoin. And they were one of the first venture capitalist firms investing in Bitcoin, and then went on to create their own exchange called Gemini. And it just follows their story. And it's a story of two people, a lot of us in the tech world have heard of. It's a really interesting story. And that's the cool thing. So it's a very easy read. I find a lot of blockchain books incredibly boring, very academic, whereas this is just a story of some people building a business and all the ups and downs that they've had. And it's very, very interesting, very well written. So that one is called Bitcoin Billionaires as a very light intro. And then genuinely, the second book I read was a book called Cryptocurrency Investing for Dummies by author Kania Danielle. And I have to say, it's the only ever book, the For Dummies series? It's the only one of them I've ever read. It just so happened the local library, I popped in and they, asked what cryptocurrency books they had. And this was one. And I read it cover to cover. And it was quite an easy read. And you know what? I learned a ton from it. And I'd read a bit and I'd Google the stuff and I'd look into it, and it just sent me down that rabbit hole a bit. So there are two books I would recommend. The second is using like Twitter. So Twitter, it's funny, I was quite big on Twitter 10 years ago, and then I just got bored of it. I wasn't using it at all, but it's really big in this space. The Web3 and the crypto and the NFT space is probably the biggest single platform. So I really recommend it. Follow me, for example, Howard VK at Howard VK, and you can follow some of the people I follow. That's where I get most of my information from. And of course, listen to this podcast, all the episodes. Even if you don't understand everything initially, you will over time, you'll pick up little pieces and you'll hear things being talked about repeatedly, and then you'll piece it together. So I really recommend persevere, even if initially some of the phrases are foreign to you. Like, I'll really try and break everything down on this show. Just persevere, even if you're sometimes you think, oh, that's, I don't know what that means. Just stick with it. And then finally, to get started, like, really, I don't think there's a substitute for just rolling up your sleeves and trying some stuff. The analogy I always say is, it's learning this stuff, it's like learning how to drive a car. You can read a book about it, you can watch videos about it, you can hear people talk about it. But until you start driving that car yourself, start the engine and start driving around, you don't know how to drive a car, right? Until you do that. And it's very similar to this space. So, get $10, go onto something like Coinbase and just buy $10 of Ethereum or something. Just that little act, even if you withdraw it again. Just the act of going through that process, you'll learn so much. The same, mint an NFT, go on to OpenSea and mint something for a couple of dollars. Don't spend too much, definitely don't do that. But again, you'll learn so much from doing that. I truly recommend it. And then just have patience and keep going. In this space, this Web3 space moves so fast, and I feel no one has any patience. Where give yourself some patience to learn this stuff. You will learn it. You will get some good wins. It will just take some time. And just like when you're playing the guitar, if you're learning how to play the guitar and after a week you weren't, amazing, you'd never do that, right? You'd never get annoyed with yourself. You have patience and you have to practice and keep coming back to the guitar and keep playing and keep playing. And eventually you'll see progress. And this is exactly the same. Don't expect to be a genius or, you know, get rich in a week or two. It takes time, and eventually you'll figure things out, and you'll figure out, you know, what part of it you enjoy the most and things that work. All right. So, guys, that's the final question. So hopefully that was useful. Hopefully I've answered most of the key ones. And if useful, we can do another session like this. I'll take questions in the future again and I'll answer them. It's been a lot of fun, and I'll see you on the next episode. All right. That's it for this episode. Want to thank you for listening. If you want to get the links and the show notes, just head on over to our website, frontierofthemetaverse.com. And if you like this episode, please do share it with anyone you know interested in all things metaverse. And of course, you can subscribe and leave us a 5-star review. Would be very much appreciated. All right, I'll see you in the next episode.